everyone. Happy fall and welcome to season six of the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. My name is Brian Dinovellis, and look, I have to be honest with you. When I started this podcast back in March of 2021, I had no idea where this would go, how it would grow, but here we are. Here I am. I'm still here. You're still there. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your fellowship and taking time out of your days to listen to the podcast, to give me a follow, and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Keep spreading the news. I thank you for what you've done to make this podcast grow. Of course, we cover everything from in the tri-state, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, from D1 to D3, men's and women's basketball. We've done it here on the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast, and there's no other podcast around that's like it. So, the calendar is about to turn. Halloween is right around the corner, which means college basketball is right around the corner. The season tips off Monday, November 3rd for many teams. Teams will be playing, if not Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Everyone will have played, and we will have our first look at the teams here in the Tri-State. So, let's kick it off. Let's kick off a new season, season number six, with my good friend and colleague, the Dean of New Jersey College Basketball Writers, a man I've known for almost 30 years. Jerry, I'm losing count. This is Jerry Carino of the Asbury Park Press and MyCentralJersey.com. Jerry, how you doing, my friend?
Well, like everyone else, I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on, Dino, because, you know, with the sport turned upside down, these rosters are entirely new.
Yep.
And we do these things every October. I do them too, the predictions, the forecast, the what are we going to look for. And it's like it always was throwing darts at a dartboard. Now it's like put the blindfold on and chuck the darts. But I'm happy to report I did get to see both Rutgers and Seton Hall practice this month. So I have a little bit of an idea, a little tiny window peek through the blindfold as to what might be coming on the hardwood. But it does look like an entirely new set of faces across the landscape in New Jersey college basketball.
Yeah, and you know, I'm telling you, Jerry, fans are going to have to watch and go to these games with the rosters right in the palm of their hand to figure out who's who. So let's start with Rutgers, Jerry. I mean, no way to describe last year other than being an unmitigated disaster. You have two top five lottery picks in Dylan Harper and, of course, Ace Bailey. They don't make the NCAA tournament. They don't make any postseason, you know, tournament, under 500. You know, how would you describe what happened last year and how Steve Peichel has changed his approach?
Rutgers tried to be something that they're not. You know, they tried to be this offensive team, this high-powered, you know, shoot and score, create one-on-one off the dribble, and just rely on a star system to get your points. And that's not who they are. You know, Rutgers under Steve Peichel is punch you in the throat, put you in the dentist chair, slow the game down, physical, sharp-elbowed rebounding, team defense, help concept, and they didn't have any of that. So it's like trying to be who you're not. You know, I'm not 6'5", you know, movie star, Dino, and I'm who I am. You know, I'm a grinder, sports writer, and that's Rutgers went back to its identity. Like they went back to who they are this year, or at least tried to, with guys who will defend, who will play as a team. You know, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey are going to be great pros. They're off to good starts in the NBA. But it takes a certain type of, I think, coach or system to bring out the best in those guys. And that's just not what Rutgers was. I don't blame Steve Peichel for giving a crack at it. But, you know, he needs a certain type of player to do what he wants to do. And those guys just weren't that type of player. It's no offense to them. It just was a bad fit. And fit is the word that we don't sometimes emphasize enough in college basketball.
Jerry, you're a star in my book, by the way. So,
thank you.
But you're right. You have to recognize who you are. So Rutgers does return, you know, some interesting pieces. Jamichael Davis, you know, he's going to be given every opportunity to lead this team. He returns. I really like Dylan Grant. High upside, really came alive, in the Big Ten last year. Had some double digit games. I remember the Maryland game. He was very good. And then there's Bryce Dorch, who put his ego aside and gave up his redshirt year last year. I think, they have some pieces here, but are they going to have enough? And how much are these guys going to be able to take the next step this year?
I don't know. Out of those four guys you mentioned, look, it's
Oh,
nice to
Agboli,
have,
I forgot, of course. I'm sorry. Agboli, yeah.
center at Manny Agboli. Out of those four returnees, and it is nice to have four returnees. A lot of programs don't even have that in New Jersey this year. So four is good, and two of those guys are 3-year guys
Yeah.
in Agboli and Jamichael Davis. It is nice to have a 3rd-year point guard in Jamichael Davis. But really, the guy to watch out of those four is Dylan Grant, right? Because Dylan Grant showed you moments last year. Well, he could be a high impact Big Ten player. So they say the biggest leap you get from college players is from freshman to sophomore year. It's Dylan Grant's turn
Yeah.
to be the go-to guy. And indications are, from what I've seen in practice, he could be ready for that role. Is he an all Big Ten player? I would not go that far. I don't think he's close to that. But can he be a go-to guy for Rutgers this year on the offensive end? Probably. He's going to need some help. He's not going to be able to do it by himself. But yes, he's definitely a guy to watch. But let's be honest, Rutgers brought back a core of guys who can contribute, but they're really going to be dependent on a lot of these newcomers. Their ceiling kind of depends on how well these 7 or 8 freshmen and these, this handful of transfers they've brought in are ready to contribute right away. And that, of course, is a big question mark.
Yeah, I want to get to the newcomers in a second because they're very intriguing, especially the European imports.
Right.
Jamichael Davis, he's the point guard, Jerry, at the beginning of the season, and I like him. He's an excellent defender. He's a spark plug. He's had some very good moments. I just feel like he's a little undersized. I know he's put some weight on. Can he be an everyday point guard for Steve Peichel, or will it be by committee with a guy like Francis,
Yeah.
Francis and freshman Lino Mark?
It's going to be by committee.
Okay.
I don't see Jamichael Davis carrying the mail like that. It's going to be by committee. And Tariq Francis actually had a very good preseason. The NJIT transfer has done very well for them in practice. So I think you're going to see a timeshare with Lino Mark, probably getting some doses, maybe small at first, bigger as the season goes on. There's no doubt in my mind the point guard position is going to be a timeshare, and that's not really ideal. I mean, ideally, in college basketball, you have a point guard who runs the show. They don't have that, and so they're going to have to do it by committee, and that's a potential weakness for this group. But, I know they do like what they've seen from Tariq Francis. He's going to see a lot of playing time. I see a platoon there, and I don't know if you'll see them in the backcourt together because they're pretty small. Like Francis is even smaller than Jamichael Davis, and Lino Mark is small too. So I don't know how much those guys are going to play together. They're going to have to rotate at the one, and how that committee works, how it functions as the year goes on could really be the determining factor as to how Rutgers does.
I love the metaphor. They're carrying the mailbag. It brings me back to my 13-year-old self with my paper route, Jerry.
Ah, oh, the newspaper. Yes, we miss
Yeah, the
those days.
paper boy over here. But I couldn't do it alone, and I had my big brothers help me. So it's kind of like everybody
Ha
sharing the paper route here. I love
Watch out for traffic on that bicycle while you're delivering papers.
it.
That's what I would say, to Rutgers point guards. Be careful you don't get run over by some of the size in the Big Ten.
I mean, you're going from, the maybe the best point guard in the Big Ten with, Dylan Harper, right? And now you're giving the keys to the other guys. That's a
Big
big,
difference.
big,
Big
big
difference.
difference.
Yeah, no question.
Jerry, these European players, you've written about them, a lot of offensive talent. Haroun Czarnoh, Dennis Batalo, I hope I pronounced their name right. Czarnoh comes from Bosnia and Batalo comes from Romania. They can shoot. They've had experience in Europe, but can they come over here into the Big Ten, college basketball in America, and play a role and be a factor for Rutgers?
Yeah, so they have to. I mean, this is to me, the season really hinges. Rutgers' season to me hinges on these two Eastern European guys. And Haroun Czarnoh is 21 years old. So he's not your average freshman. He has multiple years of fairly high level European Pro League experience. So he's not your typical freshman, and they're going to ask him to do a lot. I think he's going to start or play quite a bit at the two guard. He's tall. He's pretty strong too. He looks like he looks cut out for the part. You don't know for sure until the lights go on, but they're going to need him to hit some shots and also to play defense. And the second part, we'll see, because that could be a big leap for him. The first part, yes. From what I've seen in practice, the two European guys are hitting shots. They're going to need those guys to hit shots because there's no proven 3-point shooter in the program. I mean, Tariq Francis had one good year shooting the three as a freshman at NJIT. Didn't do nearly as well last year when he was at the top of the opponent's scouting reports.
Right.
They don't have anybody else. They need these two guys to shoot the three, and that's not something they really recruited, in the portal. That's something they're going to have to get from these two guys. I think a lot depends on that. Can they catch it? Can they get up to speed and play defense at the level Steve Peichel likes? Someone said to me these guys are going to have to start for them because of the offense they'll bring. And I don't know that they both can start or play together because how much are you going to be giving up defensively? That's a real open question. When you talk to these guys, they're kind of stunned by the physicality and the speed of high major ball of playing at Rutgers. Imagine what it's going to be like when they get exposed to the whole Big Ten. So I do think there's a really big adjustment there for them on that end. But I also think offensively, these are guys capable of hitting a three, and that's huge.
Jerry, I am the ultimate optimist. I am. And I want to see our New Jersey teams do well. It's hard for me to see this Rutgers team getting out of the, bottom five in the Big Ten. And most haven't predicted, 17th out of 18.
Yeah, I had to do a ranking, a preseason ranking. We have a vote in the Big Ten's writers poll. I had them 15th out of 18. There's not a whole lot of difference on paper between the bottom six or seven teams in the league. So there's some between 12 and 18. There's room to maneuver there. Really, hard to see them finishing in the top half based on what they have on paper. But to me, what I'll say about Rutgers is, I know this is crazy to say in 2025, 26. It's a 2-year project. You have this group of freshmen, and some of them are really promising. And you got to keep these guys multiple years. That's how you take the next step. So I don't know that Rutgers with eight freshmen is going to be able to finish in the top half of the Big Ten. But can Rutgers next season with five or six of those sophomores as the nucleus make a move? Yes. You have to develop them. You got to play them, develop them, and keep them. And that's the big stretch right now for Rutgers. But I look at it as a 2-year project. I know that's really hard to do in this day and age when everybody's a free agent every spring.
No, and that was, I want to get onto Seton Hall now, Jerry, but that was one of the questions I wanted to ask you at the end. I'll bring it up now. Rutgers and Seton Hall in this day and age of NIL, I believe they have two very good coaches, but it's all about money. It's all about dollars and how much money, you can put into, forget about revenue sharing, that's part of it. But, when you have 3 or 4, maybe 5 million, and the other teams have 12 million, 15 million,
Yeah.
20 million.
It's apples and oranges.
It's hard to compete year in and year out. So how are they going to do it?
Yeah, well, you have to retain the players. And that's the thing is you're not going to retain everybody. This isn't going to be Purdue where everybody comes back every year. It's just not going to happen in New Jersey. It's not going to happen. But you have to prioritize who you're going to retain and be able to retain a core group of guys. Like, can you retain two or three high impact guys? Can you retain four high impact guys or guys with a lot of potential? That's going to be the real challenge. That's where, you would hope with revenue share, Seton Hall can step up and not just rely on donors from the small alumni base. That's where Rutgers, with hiring a GM, you have somebody who comes in here and helps you raise that capital, helps you draw the sponsorships, helps you do the analytics, so you are putting your money in the right place with retention. And so these are things that both programs are kind of late to the party on. They got to catch up quick. Because retention is the only way. Seton Hall Rutgers are not going to buy NCAA tournament ready rosters. It's not going to happen. You have to take these guys, develop them with the good coaching, developmental coaching you have, and then keep them together 2 years. No one's saying 4 years. Forget about 4 years. Can you keep them together 2 years? And in that second year, make that move like we saw with Seton Hall in Shaw's second year when he had Kadari Richmond, Dre Davis, Al Dawes together for a second season. You can make that jump. And that's what really this should be about. I think this year, it'd be foolish to say these teams are going to make the NCAA tournament, but can you show some promise with your key guys and keep them, bring them back for another run next year. And that's, when maybe something can happen. I know we're talking about this year, but to me, that's what the long-term outlook has to be about for these programs.
Agreed. I you know, 2 year, you're right. Get them in, recruit, develop, and then retain, I think. All right, Jerry, Seton Hall, what did like Rutgers and Steve Peichel, what did Shaheen Holloway learn about his recruiting style coming off what was their worst year ever in program history?
The biggest adjustment they made was to bring in guys with experience. Last year, Seton Hall took a lot of flyers on highly rated prospects prospects who were highly rated coming out of high school, who didn't pan out in their first college stop, and they did it, at very important positions, center, point guard, and so you saw it really blow up in their face with Garway Dowell last year, a point guard who was pretty much of a bust. He had some injuries, but I mean, he never really fired as a point guard. So, like, when you have no point guard, you have no team. So the first thing Seton Hall did was it went out and got an experienced point guard. And you and I both know Bud Clark can play.
Yes. Oh,
He's got a
boy.
lot of experience. He's a player, tough Philly guard, was really good at Merrimack, which is a solid mid-major MAC, leading type of program. Shredded Dylan Harper playing head-to-head with him last year when Merrimack came to Rutgers. Bud Clark can play. So they put their – Seton Hall put their focus on getting an experienced point guard, which was huge. And they have other experienced backcourt pieces. AJ Staton-McCray is a fifth-year player who was really successful at Samford, helped them in the NCAA tournament, nearly knock off Kansas a couple of years ago. Memorable game. Was it Miami last year? Miami kind of imploded. Not a great year, but he did play 1 year at the high major level. Here's a guy who's played a lot of college basketball and has had some success. So he's probably your starting two guard. They're bringing a guy from Elon, TJ Tawan Simpkins, who. Elon's been a decent program. He's a good player there. We know Greg Herrenda. I know you know him really well.
Yes.
Greg has said, Greg coached him at Elon and said he thinks he's a terrific fit for Seton Hall and for Shaw. Will be an impact player defensively, like a glue guy type of guy. So another experience piece there. So you have some experience now, guys who've played. They did bring in one freshman who I'm sure we'll get to in a minute. But
Yeah.
I do the big difference is. Forget about taking chances on guys who haven't proven anything. High school rankings are bogus anyway. They're more bogus than they've ever been because of the transfer portal has changed so much about roster construction. So go toward guys who've accomplished something on the college level. So they did, Seton Hall did adjust their focus to that this past offseason. Will it pay off? It can't be worse, Dino. It can't be worse. And I will say, I can say with certainty, they are much, much better at point guard.
Well, and to me, you 100%, right? Seton Hall throughout the years, they needed the point guard. I've said this publicly many times. As crazy as Bobby Gonzalez was, as crazy as he is, Jerry, he knew he had to get the point guard,
You
and
have
he
to.
had two extremely great point guards while he had his time there. So yes, you build around your point guard, and if you can, it's harder to build around the center, but hey, God's will, Ariarian, they retain him. I think
Right.
that was big. He showed promise
Yes,
last
he
year,
did.
showed that he can be a Big East player. But then they bring in some players around him who I think this three-headed monster for Seton Hall, I think they can be serviceable. I do. Stephen Payne from Jacksonville is a guy who can compete. He has size and length.
Another guy who's experienced, right? He's played 4 years of college ball. Another guy who's been around.
Right. And then Najee Hines, Jerry, you wrote about him. I interviewed him. I mean, the charts,
Dino,
personality,
he
and
is so
basketball IQ.
tantalizing. He's so tantalizing. They have not had a player quite like this. I mean, his size, his skill level, his personality, he's local. Which does matter. You take good players wherever they come from, but it's always a little sweeter when you're Seton Hall, and they've done this through the years, when you have a local kid who's performing for you in college. So Najee Hines has all the tools to be a star in the Big East.
Oozing,
Star. He's got
oozing.
the hands. He's got the footwork. He has the IQ. He's ambidextrous. He's physical. He's a former football player.
Didn't
The
one of the
guy.
players, wasn't one of his own teammates surprised that he's a lefty?
Yeah, so they did. Bud Clark, his point guard, did not know he was a lefty because
How is that?
he's so fluent with his right hand. So this guy, I mean, I cannot emphasize enough how skilled and physical Najee Hines is. The question is, how long is it going to take? It's not will he be a Big East star? It's when will he be a Big East star? And we know, you and I know, it takes big men longer. And we're not in an era where we have longer now. So I don't know that in his freshman year, look, Angel Delgado was a very good Big, I'll compare him to Angel Delgado. It's high praise, but
Sure.
just for example, Angel Delgado was really good. He was Big East Freshman of the Year, right? He still was like, an average Big East center as a freshman. It was later that he became this dominant Big East type of big guy. So Hines, I think, can help them this year. He's probably a year or so away from stardom, but
And
this,
where will that be, right?
well, it's got to be here. Like, you have to do what it takes to retain this guy and Bud Clark next year, and that's when you really have something. So there is reason for optimism at Seton Hall because you have two guys, a point guard and a freshman center, who have real potential to be very, very good. Is it going to take them a year? It might, but then you have to get them back next year. But we're talking about this year. So this year, to me, I'll be watching those two guys, and I think watching Hines and Clark, I've seen them run the pick and roll. It's like they've been doing it a long time. So to me, they could be worth the price of admission for Seton Hall. Is Seton Hall going to win a ton of games? I'm not going to predict that. But I do feel comfortable saying they're set at point guard and there's a really promising center rotation headed by this potential freshman future star who's from Plainfield. So
Yes.
this is a lot of fun potentially for Seton Hall to build around this year.
Yeah, prediction. He won't start the year at center, but boy, he's gonna see. It's gonna be tough to keep him out of that lineup before too long.
Yes.
I would agree with you, Jerry. I know you have to jump. I know you have to go on another call, but I just want to get your thoughts about the rest of New Jersey. We haven't had a year. Last year, first year since 2015, we had
Yeah.
no New Jersey team in the NCAA tournament. Will it duplicate itself, or can there be some team that rises from obscurity this year?
It would have to be from obscurity because I don't see it right now.
Yeah. Even Princeton, Jerry, you know?
Princeton got gutted by, they
Right.
finally got gutted by free agency. They have no seniors. For the first time in program history, Princeton has no seniors. And it's been a program that's been really reliant on that, developmental type guys as seniors. They're gone. Xavien Lee went to Florida.
Yep.
Cade Pierce took a redshirt year. He's going to graduate from Princeton and probably, my guess is he ends up at Purdue back where he came from. He's an Indianapolis guy. And so, yeah, they have a really nice, talented sophomore center in Malik Abdullahi, who's going to handle the ball on the perimeter. I think he's got a huge upside. They're going to have him in this sort of versatile type of role, point forward type of role. But like Princeton, then they bring a lot back for anybody else, but not for Princeton. So, they're way behind, I think, Yale and the teams at the head of the class in the Ivy League.
Yeah.
Will they be in the mix? Probably, but to win it, I can't say that. FDU has 12 new guys. I know that league is wide open and bonkers, the Northeast Conference. They have 12 new guys. So, I mean, what, who knows? Their point guard's a D2 guy. I know they're high on this kid. His name is Joey Niesman, but he's come up from the D2 level. They've had success with that before. He's a post grad. They made the NCAA tournament with two D2 guards and beat FDU a couple years back. But again, they're pretty much starting over. St. Peter's brings back a couple guys. They did lose a lot. In a large part, they are starting over. They do have a point guard back. Jack Collins at Monmouth is back. And they lost a couple high impact players. They did bring back three starters, which is a lot. So, but the CAA is so tough and so good at the
Yeah.
top. You can't predict them to win the CAA. They finish maybe in the top third at best case scenario. So I don't know. There's a lot, Rider, who knows, probably a lower tier MAC team. NJIT, Grant Billmeyer feels better about them. They did bring back a couple guys, and they have this player, Ari Fulton, this like wing guard who they're very high on, who came on strong at the end of last year. So they could be decent to move up in that league. But again, Vermont is so entrenched at the top. So I think no, I don't think you have a team right now. Now, the mid-majors have surprised us, and we'll see. And it does come down to 3 days in March. But on paper, the free agency has hit everybody hard in New Jersey. And there's a lot of starting over, and that's gonna could make for potentially a second long winter in these parts, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, it is an uphill battle for all our teams, but that's why they play the games, Jerry. You never know. So, hey, I know you got to run. You're the best. Love talking to you as always, and I will see you at Seton Hall and Rutgers next week. Tip-off is right around the corner, my friend.
I'll be there. Looking forward to it, Dino. No matter what happens, it's still college hoops and we're still going to love it.
We still love it. All right. See you soon. All right. That is the great Jerry Carino. Check him out. Asbury Park Press, app.com, mycentraljersey.com. Give him a follow on Twitter. If you're under a rock, then you have no idea who Jerry Carino is. I get it. But if you are a college basketball fan in this area, you know Jerry Carino. You already follow him. He is a must read and a must follow on Twitter for all New Jersey college basketball. There is no one better here. And it's a dying breed. It is a dying breed. Okay. There was a time when all the newspapers, right now they're online, but all the newspapers had a college basketball beat writer. Jerry pretty much is the only one left, here in New Jersey covering everybody. Of course, Adam Zagoria does a great job with NJ.com, but other than that, Jerry Carino is your source for college basketball here in New Jersey, especially when it comes to Rutgers and Seton Hall. Will it be a long year in South Orange and in Piscataway? Well, there's going to be growing pains for sure. I'd like to think these teams are going to get better as the season goes on. I think there's of course, they'll play each other this year. They'll play each other once again. That series continues. Seton Hall will have home court advantage this year. You never know what happens in that rivalry. That's for sure. But look, I think Seton Hall has a higher ceiling because the Big Ten is a better, deeper. It might be the best college basketball conference in the country. Six teams in the top 25 preseason. It is a gauntlet, to think that there are teams out there that they're going to have to play this year, like number one Purdue and Michigan and Illinois and UCLA and Michigan State and Wisconsin and Ohio State and on and on and on. It is brutal. Okay, when a program like Maryland is predicted like 12th or 13th in that conference, you know how good that conference is. Okay, it is ridiculous. So I think there's a higher ceiling for Seton Hall. I'm not saying they're going to be better than Rutgers. I think there's more potential because of the players they brought in. Rutgers is extremely young. All right, seven, eight new freshmen. Outside of Jamichael Davis and Grant and Dortch and Ogbole, everyone's new. All right. And a lot of these players, Tariq Francis proved it that he could do it at NJIT, but he's making a big leap. Like Jerry said, Seton Hall has a lot of new faces, yes, but they have players who have done it on a bigger stage than Rutgers players. Stanton McCray at Samford in Miami, okay? Elijah Fisher, I know it's the West Coast Conference, but one of the top scorers out of Pacific. These guys have played. Jacob Dahr has done it at Rice. So they've played in some big time games. I'm not making them out to be, St. John's transfers, certainly. All right, because we know what a great transfer class looks like when we look at St. John's. It's nowhere near that. But what I'm saying is when you compare the experience on Seton Hall and Rutgers, I think Seton Hall has the edge in experience. Now, where does that put them overall? Here are my predictions. Let's begin with Seton Hall. A lot of people have predicted them 11th place in the Big East. I've seen 10th place in the Big East, basically 10th or 11th, and rightfully so. They came off their worst year ever in, I think it's 122 years, going back to the early 20th century. Seven wins overall. Who's to believe they will get out of the basement? Well, I'm always the optimist on both teams. All right. I want to see these teams do well, especially here in New Jersey where I live. Here's my prediction. Overall, I think Seton Hall will go 16 and 15, one game over 500. I think that's fair. I think in the non-conference, they'll go 8-3. Maui's tough. Listen, can they win two games there? Sure. NC State's a much better team, predicted fourth in the ACC. It's a tall task. There's some pretty good teams there. I'm saying 1-2 in Maui and a loss at Kansas State. Seton Hall goes 8-3 in the non-conference. They beat everyone they're supposed to beat, and they take care of Rutgers at home. They go 8-12 in the Big East. I think that's about as high as I can go. Most people will predict them, anywhere from probably, 5 or 6 wins. I'm going to go as high as 8. I could see 7-13, 8-12. I'm going 8-12, 16-15 overall for the Pirates, 8-12 in the Big East. All right, Rutgers. I think it's going to be an uphill battle for this team all year. I don't see an alpha. Okay, outside of Dylan Grant becoming that guy, there's no player on this roster that you can point to right now. There's no Dylan Harper. There's no Ron Harper Jr. There's no Geo Baker, right? Who can you point to? None of them. There's no Cam Spencer. You're hoping somebody emerges. There's just not enough Big Ten ready talent on this roster. Next year, if there's retention, yes. But right now, the way this roster is built, they're so young, they're so green, they're so unproven. Can Emmanuel Agboole do it? Night in and night out, he hasn't proven it. Can Dylan Grant? Maybe. Can Jamichael Davis? I don't think so. And Bryce Dortch, there's not enough on his resume. You can't point to anyone on this roster. We don't even know who the definitive starting five will be. So with that said, I'm going 13-18 overall, 7-4 in the non-con. I really think they're going to struggle in the Players Era Festival in Vegas. They start out with Tennessee, number 18 in the country. They play Notre Dame. I don't see them winning those games right now. And then just look at the rest of the teams in there. It could be anyone. It could be, most likely not St. John's or Houston. I don't know exactly how the brackets work, but look at the teams. There's Iowa State, Syracuse, Auburn, Oregon, Gonzaga, Alabama, San Diego State, UNLV, Maryland. I don't know how this consolation is going to work, but they'll probably match them up against someone with a similar record. At best, they win one game there. Right now, I'm predicting 0-3. So, you don't win a game out in Vegas. You lose to Seton Hall. There's your 7-4 non-con. You beat everyone you're supposed to beat. Big Ten, 6-14. So 6-14 in the Big Ten, 7-4 in the non-con. That puts them at 13-18 overall. I think at best you're looking at 15-16. Last year with Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, they couldn't get to 500. So you're thinking with no star on this roster, they're going to get to 500 this year? It's going to be a serious year of growing pains. You hope they get better, and you hope that the majority of these players, five, six players, return next year. The ceiling, I think, is 15th or 16th in the Big Ten. Anywhere from 15 to 17 sounds good to me. I'm predicting 16th. So 16th for Rutgers, 9th place for Seton Hall. Those are my predictions. Touch a little bit upon Princeton. Jerry and I talked about it, and you heard him. There's no team, no program in the country that suffered two bigger losses without the ability and the NIL funds to replace them. No one suffered bigger losses than Princeton. You're talking about with Xavier Lee and Caden Pierce, this team is preseason one or two in the Ivy League. And without them, you're talking preseason fourth or fifth. Yale's better, Harvard's better, Cornell's better, and maybe Brown's better. So, you lose Xavier Lee to Florida. Caden Pierce did something unprecedented that we're probably going to see more student athletes doing, especially at that level in the Ivy League, where he's just taking a year off from basketball so that he doesn't burn his last year of eligibility. He's smart. He's going to get his Princeton degree and go elsewhere. Jerry said, He could see him going to Purdue back home in Indiana. Who am I to doubt that? So, going to be a long year for Princeton. I just think that it's going to be a long year for New Jersey teams. Could there be a surprise? Sure, there could be a surprise. Fairleigh Dickinson in the wide open Northeast Conference. St. Peter's has done it before, but I don't see them doing it this year. Rider, no. Monmouth, there's talent there, but for the second straight year, you're probably looking at here in New Jersey, no New Jersey team making the men's NCAA basketball tournament. The last time that happened was 2015. We've had a good stretch from 2016 to 2024, where we had at least one team go every single year. The COVID year obviously doesn't count. But now we're probably looking at two straight years where we don't get a team in the NCAA tournament in New Jersey. But you never know. Stranger things have happened, right? All right, that'll do it for this first edition, season six of the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. Continue to share, like, and follow us here on the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. I appreciate your listenership and downloading and sharing it. I also want to thank our sponsor. He's back again, Mike Supa from RE/MAX Revolution. If you're looking to buy, sell, or list a home down the Jersey Shore, we're talking Monmouth or Ocean Counties, give Mike a call at 201-988-2577. And you better tell him that Brian sent you from the Tri-State College Basketball Podcast. We are days away from tipping off to the college basketball season. Can't wait. My name is Brian Deanovellis. I'll have more podcasts previewing teams and players in the Tri-State area. Stick with us. We'll come back with more. Until next time, enjoy your day. So long.